Hello and greetings, everyone. I am the original Dansky, and you are listening to another episode of The Unknown and Unexplained. Now, today we're going to be talking about a little bit about the paranormal. We have some government conspiracy mixed into it, but what it really is just a total mystery. And today I'm talking about the curse of the Orang Maidan. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is one of those ghost ship stories where everyone usually knows about the Mary Celeste, where the crew just disappears. And that's a classic mystery. A lot of people know about it. The Orang Maidan is a bit different because what you got here is basically you get a message from the ship, and you're aware it's happening as they are searching for this ship. So we have a timeline in which it's happening, but just like we usually do in these situations, we have no survivors and there's no one to tell us really what happened. So let's get right into it. I don't have an exact month because as I was researching this story, I got a couple months, but one thing is for sure, the original story claims that it happened in 1947. A ship that was adrift, drifting completely aimlessly, put out a SOS. And this happened in the Malacca Strait between Indonesia and Malaysia. And if you look at that on a map, it's a very close area. So there's a lot of congestion in that area because over a quarter of all the world's traded goods passes through that strait. So having issues there is not a new thing. In the last century, they've lost 30 ships, which they average about one ship a year will go missing or sink. So that place is not somewhere where nothing ever happens. Things happen all the time there. But this one is particular because you get this really weird SOS signal. You get this really, really weird SOS out of nowhere. And I believe there are a couple different versions. The one I found says, all officers, including the captain, are dead, period. Lying in chart room and bridge, period. Possibly whole crew dead. End of message. That was the first message. There was a second message a couple minutes later that just said, I die. That's it. Two words. I die.
That's wild.
So we know. We know when this is happening. We have a timeline. Sorry, I keep sneezing. I keep using that cough button. But, so we have a timeline. Now, obviously, from the second message, we did not get a location. All we got was, I die. That's it. This guy tells us everyone's dying. I'm dying. That's it. And we wouldn't have even found it, but a British and Dutch listening station actually, like, triangulated the radio signal and found out this thing wasn't even in the Malacca Strait. Now, I told you the Malacca Strait, you have a quarter of all the world's goods going through there. And now, losing ships there isn't a big deal. We lose one ship a year there, but this thing isn't even in the Strait. It's not in any of the normal, like, shipping lanes. It's way out in the Indian Ocean. So the closest ship there, and again, in the version that I researched, there was only one ship. But in another one I researched, there was two ships. So one ship was definitely there, which was the United States ship Silver Star. It's a U.S. ship, and it was the closest. So it started heading that direction. Now, the other report says it was the U.S. Silver Star and the U.S. City of Boston, or something to that effect, that I will have to look into some more. It was another version that I read quickly as I was doing my research. I listened to at least 6 or 7 different reports, and I try to research a lot of newspaper articles and stuff like that to get the whole broad story of what's going on. So this is where we get to the interesting part. This is where it gets really weird. If you thought the message "I die" is as weird as it gets, oh man, this is the part that I think really makes this a legend, that this curse of this ship, the Orang Medan, that's what makes this like your classic ghost ship. When they start getting close to it, they can tell that it's obviously it's a dead stick. It's just floating. It's totally adrift. The engines aren't running. Nothing's running. You can't see anyone. There's no one there. And so they're approaching. They try to signal it. They send up flares. They're doing everything they can to see if there's someone on the boat that will let them know that there's someone there. And nothing. They see nothing. And this thing's just floating, just adrift. Who knows how long? Because we already know it's so far out of the shipping lanes, it could have either drifted there or that's where it could have happened. So the Silver Star puts together a team to go over there. And that's when they see the bodies all over the deck. Bodies everywhere. And it's not like these guys got sick, fell over, and died. They were one person described it as being contorted, as their faces were drawn back, as if they were terrified, and their bodies were frozen in such a way that it looked like they were trying to fight something off. And that's how all of the crew members looked. You have all of them. And there was even a dog there. It was either the captain's dog, one of the officers had their dog. Even the dog had this look like it was growling, and it was frozen that way until it eventually died and just like falls over. And its bodies, all the bodies are contorted. And everyone's dead on deck. So they begin to look throughout the ship. They go to the bridge. That the captain's there. The captain is dead. That's when they also go to the radio room. And they see the guy who is actually sending the message. And he was dead right there in the same position as he was when he sent the radio call. So he died right after sending the message saying, "I die." And they all looked like they died in this extreme fear and pain. And there was a lot of weird stuff that they noted as the team was over there. They noticed that the bodies were not decomposing normal. They commented that it appeared the bodies were decomposing much faster than you could expect. And I guess you could say, well, you know, when you're at sea, when, you know, if it's that humid and that environment, it's like, yeah, but we're also talking about guys that they live in that environment. And if they say it's odd for that environment, I think I would take their opinion, you know, seriously. I wouldn't treat it as a uneducated guess. I'd treat it as almost an expert. Because who would know better than the people that live there and do this for a living? And if they're telling us there's this weird thing where the bodies aren't decomposing, that then we could probably start saying that is very odd. Another weird thing that happened is that it was a clear summer day, and they were telling us that on a day like that, usually it'd be around 100 degrees Fahrenheit, 37 degrees Celsius. But instead, there was this really cold chill in the air that really couldn't be explained. Once they got up to the ship, it was like this very frigid air. And they took recordings over the ship, and the lowest they recorded was 4 degrees Celsius. 40 degrees Fahrenheit, 100 degrees being the normal, and then 40 degrees being what you have. I mean, wow, a 60 degree difference in what's expected and what you get. And, you know, it's like, man, 10 degree difference can really put you in a jacket or make you start to sweat. 60 degrees. How do you explain that? On a clear summer day. You know, because if you're going to, well, maybe it was the weather, maybe it was cloudy. I know they said it was a clear summer day. I don't know. So, basically, these guys get back on board and they're telling the captain what they're seeing. And as crazy as all this stuff is, it's decided that they're going to tow it back to the port. So they set up a tow line. And in the other story, it's the same thing, except it's both ships set up a tow line. And they begin to tow it when they notice smoke coming from the ship. And that's when the explosion happens that actually is so powerful. People say that the ship actually, the hull rose out of the water. That's how powerful the explosion was. So they had to cut the lines, and that was the end of the Orang Medan. That was it. Now, no one on the Silver Star was injured because no one was willing to stay on board that ship while it was towed. No one wanted to be there. And you really can't blame them once you start to think about what they were seeing and how, and obviously whatever killed them was fast, because in the time it took him to send that message, he had died. And maybe something was happening earlier. Maybe the message didn't go out till like the very end of whatever was happening. But why did it take so long for them to message him? You know, all these guys on deck, and not one could get down and tell the radio operator to send some kind of an SOS, because that was the first SOS was, hey, everyone's dead. So that's how fast it happened. Now, this was officially reported by the United States Coast Guard in 1952. And there are a lot of theories of what exactly happened to the crew of the Orang Medan. And I got a few. A couple are crazy. A couple make sense. And, you know, but they all leave holes. They make sense in certain places, but then in other places, not so much. That doesn't work so much with the whole situation. This doesn't explain everything that happened. Why did this happen? We do have one theory that I think is the closest one. So, first though, the first one we're going to go into is pirates. That is one of the theories. And no, I absolutely not. I don't think it was pirates at all. If they had gone on the ship, why didn't they steal anything? You know, you didn't see any, they didn't make any note of anything looking stolen or ransacked or rummaged through or anything like, or why didn't they take the boat? If nothing else, why don't you take the boat if there's nothing else on the boat, which there is a lot of stuff on. There's a whole cargo vessel. So the theory of the pirates does not work with me. Paranormal, cursed, spirits, aliens. Could they have been out there and possibly were attacked by an extraterrestrial species, possibly? Now, before you say no way, at that same time, we do have reports from the U.S. Navy and other navies in the area, the Soviet Navy, who said they were seeing these strange lights underwater, and they saw them coming in and out of the water. So we have USO and UFO activity. We don't really have any evidence of ships being attacked by UFOs in my research so far. I'm sure there's something out there where, with the exception of Operation High Jump, where we sent a fleet to Antarctica and it said that we got into dogfights with UFOs and they beat us, and that's why we had to leave Antarctica. And with the exception of that, I don't know of any other situation where we've actually seen evidence of ships being attacked by extraterrestrials. But that you can't put that out of your mind, because we know they're there. The evidence says they're there. Spirits, I mean, you can never know. But I'm going to just say no because of the acuity of which it happened, how quickly it appeared to have happened, and just the amount of collateral damage and how the process was done. I don't think it was a curse or spirits. Now we're going to get in to, I think, the probably the most believable theory. During World War II, there was a unit in the Japanese Army called Unit 731, which specialized in chemical and biological germ warfare. All of those things, after the war, it was like Operation Paperclip. We chose to give these scientists immunity if they would give us their knowledge. Now, it would not have looked good to tell the American people that we are keeping the chemical weapons that we got from the evil Japanese Empire. So, one of the theories is that we were transporting them illegally with help from the military and the OSS, future CIA, and we were transporting all of these chemicals and all this stuff through ships, just like the Orang Medan. And one of these things was Tabin gas, which will like asphyxiate you, and it's a painful death, and it's very quick, and it must be a terrifying way to die. And also, if you got there late enough, it dissipates quickly, so the people coming on board would not have been affected. Now, because this is illegal, when we had this ship being towed, we had the risk of people knowing that we were letting off Japanese war criminals in order to have their research. And we can't have that, no. So the other half of the theory is that a U.S. naval submarine or some kind of Navy vessel was out there and torpedoed this thing, blowing it up and sinking it with its contents and cargo before it could reach port and be further investigated. Now, you may think that's crazy, but earlier when we were talking about the explosion, we were talking about an explosion so powerful it actually takes the whole of the ship out of the water. Not a lot of things can do that, but a torpedo can definitely do that. So you gotta ask yourself, you know, of all the theories, this one actually makes the most sense. And you gotta remember, the government has no problem doing these things because at the end of the day, it needs massive support to do what it does. And if the people start finding out that the government is doing this stuff behind their back, my God, this is gonna look terrible. Not if the ship ain't there. It ain't there yet, you know, just put a torpedo up, nobody's gonna know. Nobody's gonna ask. And then you get all the stories about it. A ghost ship, cursed vessel. And you don't think to ask that what was on there? What was the political environment going on? What was happening in history at this time? Now, there are other versions of the story that say it takes place in 1940 instead of 1947, which changes the story up quite a bit because you wouldn't be getting information from Unit 731, but you would probably still be dealing with enemy submarines. So, what really happened to the Orang Medan? To this day, it is still unknown and unexplained. Thank you so much for joining me. I am the original Dansky, and this is the unknown and unexplained. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. God bless.